Take your Bibles, if you will, and I'm going to ask you to turn to two portions of Scripture, the book of Matthew, chapter 11, and Ephesians, chapter 2. Title of our lesson today is Grace, Grace. And let's stand together, if you would, chapter 11 of the book of Matthew, verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 20, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus speaking, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Dear Heavenly Father, we come thanking you this day for the opportunity to once again be in the house of the Lord. And Lord, we pray for those of our number who are under the weather. We ask that you would bring them back to us quickly. Lord, we pray for the Jim Foster family and the loss of his longtime mate. Lord, be with them as they grieve. Give them peace and comfort, especially for Brother Jim as his family begins to return home. And Lord, as he begins to deal with that house that will now be empty. We ask, Lord, your hand of protection upon him. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The funeral for Dot Foster was this past Thursday at the Pleasant View Baptist Church there in Arlington, Texas. Pastor Jimmy McNeil. And as we gathered, it's good to be at a funeral where there is hope. When you realize that the one that is there in the casket has gone to a far better place. And even though people were grieving, they knew that they would see Dot Foster again. I was able to have a few words, and I appreciated Brother McNeil actually coming over to me and asking me to say something. As you know, they were part of our church for a long time before they retired from the ministry and moved to Arlington, Texas. And I would ask that you would continue to pray for the Jim Foster family. But in verse 28, it tells us, "And I will give you rest." Folks, we live in a society that is struggling. Depression runs rampant. The need of alcohol and drugs seems to be at an all-time high. And yet the Lord says, "I will give you rest. I will give you comfort." And then in verse 29 it says, "And ye shall find rest unto your souls." Rest. The first rest comes from the burden of our sins being removed and the fact that we will spend eternity with our Savior Jesus Christ. The second rest comes when we are obedient to the Lord's will. When we are willing to submit ourselves to Him, we will take His yoke upon us and we will be used. And may I say this, that I have found through the years that people who are used, God will use far more than people who are doing nothing. If you read through the scriptures repeatedly, God used somebody who was already busy. And we want to be busy for the cause of Christ. If you would, and you may want to keep your place here in Matthew 11, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Serious thoughts. Words that grip our heart. Words that you have memorized in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But those are only two of the verses in this great chapter of the book of Ephesians. Let's look at verses 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You hath he quickened. All of us are dead in our sins. We are doomed and damned and headed for hell eternity. But then when we come to the saving knowledge of Christ, we are made alive, spiritually alive. We'd say of Dot Foster, she's more alive today than she has ever been. She has been suffering for a number of years with breathing issues. And the other day, a week ago Saturday, her kidneys began shutting down and other parts of her body began to stop. And she said she was ready to go home. Her family knew what she meant. She wasn't talking about going to the home there in Grand Prairie. She was talking about going to a far greater place. And she is more alive than any of us today. But Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, you hath he quickened. He has made you alive and vibrant. Vibrant. You were dead in trespasses and sins. In the eyes of the Lord, you were dead spiritually. Dead. When Adam took of that fruit, he condemned us to a life of sin. And when we get to heaven and we see Adam, do you think there will be bodyguards? No, because when we get there, we won't be thinking about Adam, will we? We'll be thinking about our Savior. Do you look forward to seeing Jesus Christ? Do you look forward to being able to go over and to somehow, and I don't know how we're going to be able to touch Him, but to touch Him and simply say, thank you. Thank you. What a glorious time that's going to be. And He's made us alive that we're dead in trespasses and sins. In time past, ye walked according to the course of this world. In other words, we are to be walking differently today than we did before we were saved. Our lifestyle should be different. The world should know that if they are with us for any length of time, that there's something different about you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that there is something about you. I must admit, I've been amazed through the years when someone has said to me, are you a preacher? And I didn't tell them I was a preacher. I remember being there in Amish country and we were looking for some furniture. And the salesman, after talking to me for a little bit, said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I wondered who told him. And I said, yes, I'm a Baptist preacher. I said, how'd you know? He says, I could just tell. Now, I'm not trying to brag on myself. I'm really not. I'm just thinking, I got to be good all the time. I mean, that's pressure. A couple of years ago, Don and I were out in Oregon and we were on this little rubber contraption. We were going out looking for whales. And there was a guy driving the contraption. But anyways, there were 10 of us sitting in the front. And this woman beside me turned, well, she wasn't beside me. I was on the edge, and then Donna, she turned around and she said to me, you're a pastor, aren't you? Now, was I dressed in a tie and white shirt? I was wearing a t-shirt. And I was in blue jeans. You know, that there ought to be something different about us, right? That there should be. And you know what I think would be great, Brother Jones? I think it'd be great if someone said about you, are you a Baptist preacher? It'd be nice. Yes. Brother Wutke, if someone said to you, are you a preacher? Because they would see what you were. I think it'd be great. I can see it now. Dennis Smith, they would say, Chief, are you a preacher? You filled in for the chaplain. There you go, buddy. There should be something different because we are alive in Christ. We're alive in Christ. We were dead. We walked according to the natural man. Now you say, Pastor Paul, do you sin? What do you think? Do you really think so? You're right. You think I've sinned today? Boy, Sherry, you're just jumping all over me. You're taking my wife's place, right? When the alarm clock went off this morning, I did not like that. How many of you hit the snooze alarm this morning? I hit the snooze alarm. You know how many times I hit the snooze alarm? I'm not going to tell you. But the fact of the matter is, we are sinners. We're sinners. But we can be saved sinners. We're not perfect yet. But we once walked according to the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is the prince of the power of the air? Satan is. Satan is. And he has more control over that today than ever before. Would you say things that are coming over the air today have to be filtered out? Everything that comes to your cell phone, are you glad for it? No. How about everything that's on the internet? I mean, everything on the internet is positive and true and needs to be followed 100%, right? I was sitting there in the airport leaving on Wednesday. And I was watching one of the news stations and the 24-hour. You know, I don't know how anybody watches that for 24 hours. I think I'd go absolutely stir crazy. And they were interviewing a woman who has started a business. Anybody see that on Wednesday morning? Started a business. And she was talking for all women who have started businesses. And she was one of those who believes that our president should be impeached. Do you ever notice how that certain newscasts, every one of them is negative about our president? Every one of them. It's like, wow. And there is a constant desire to divide America. When was the last time we saw our politicians trying to unite America in a positive way? But the fact of the matter is, our enemy, the prince of the power of the air, is bringing many things into our lives that must be filtered. And we must be careful. And I must admit, you that do Facebook and you that do a lot of the texting, whatever, there are people that you need to block. Okay? Their language is wrong. Their jokes are wrong. The things they are bringing towards you are wrong. And don't be afraid to block them. Okay? And if you have any doubt, bring it to me and I'll show you and I'll ask. Ask me what you think, and I'll read it. And what do you think? Do you think I'm going to say yes or no? See, you know, right? You know, without me even saying it. I'm just encouraging you to do the right thing. Because things influence us. I'm going to try to influence you right now. Next Sunday is our fifth Sunday potluck. Why would you not want to have lunch with us next Sunday? See, I just encouraged you to do something. Yes, The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Are there bad influences in our society? Are there those who are living improper lives? And they have an influence on us. Among whom also we had our conversation. What's a never thought there for conversation? Our lifestyle. That's how we lived at one time. But we are to be different today. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. The children of wrath. Let's begin reading at verse 4. But God. Don't you love those two words? But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Don't you love that verse? It talks about his mercy. It talks about his great love. He loved us. Don't we have a desire to be loved? We got back yesterday. I don't remember exactly now. Getting back from the airport, we brought 94 and there was a detour and we had to get off and we were on Michigan Avenue and we got then onto I-75 and they brought it from 4 lanes to 3 lanes to 2 lanes to 1 lane to everybody had to get off at 696. And so instead of an hour trip from the airport to our house, it was over 2 hours. And I'm thinking, welcome home. But when we got in the house, Rudy, those dogs went nuts. They went nuts. They're jumping all over Donna. They are so excited. I mean, they're just excited to see Donna. Enough said. Isn't it good to be loved by somebody? It's so good. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. But God, our God is a loving God. He cares for us. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. He loves you. He loves you. And yet he is so disappointed when people reject him, when they'll have nothing to do with him, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. His love is for all. But will all accept him? They will not. They will reject him. They will ignore him. They will put him to the side. But he still loves us. Let's read verses 8 and 9. You probably have them underlined in your Bible or highlighted somehow on your tablet. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. He loves us. Before we did anything, it says here, even when we were dead in sins, we didn't have to bring ourselves to a certain point, and then he says, okay, now I can save you. He loved us when we were dead in our sins. For by grace, are you saved? Well, how would you define grace? Many times people say it's unmerited favor. That will be the definition. But let me say this, that maybe grace should be defined by the first 9 words of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Grace, simply put, is love in action. It's love in action. Love and grace, someone has said, are the two sides of a coin. They go together, love and grace. You flip it and it twirls around in love and grace and love and grace and love and grace. The love of God shows the grace of God. Jesus was the conduit of the grace of the Godhead. He was that conduit. Let me say this. You that are born again and know Jesus Christ as as Savior, you're the conduit of God's grace. You're the conduit. You ever have a pipe that got filled so that nothing would go through it? What do you have to do to the pipe? You got to clean it out, right? Filth will keep the love and grace of God from flowing through us. Filth. Sin. So only you know if your conduit is clean. Only you know if you're allowing God's love and God's grace to flow through you. Only you know if you're allowing Him to use you. And I would hope that you are allowing Him to use you. Filth. We don't like that word, do we? We don't want to think of the fact that we might be full of corruption. But could we be? Absolutely. There may be something in your life right now that needs to be roto-rooted out. There may be something in your life that we don't know anything about it, but God does. And because of it, the Lord is not able to use you because your conduit is filthy. We need to make sure that we are usable. That we are usable. So that God's grace is able and allowed to flow freely. For by grace are you saved through faith. And it's nothing we have done. Let me reword a couple of thoughts here. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Is that gift precious? If I were to ask you for a verse that tells us it's precious, would you say 2 Corinthians 9:15? Which simply says, thanks unto God for his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable. It is a great gift. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Does that mean that everyone that is born again should be doing good works? We're not saved by good works, but we are saved to do good works. Good works. It goes hand in hand with that thought of, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would you be found guilty? Do we do good works? And you say, well, Pastor Paul, you've done all of this. Why? Because in Matthew chapter 11, it tells us, take my yoke upon you. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Take my yoke, submit to me. Because you were created to do good works. This is what we need to do. Number one, we need to come to know the Lord as our personal Savior. And number two, we are to do good work. Shall we stand together? 375 is our song of invitation, Just As I Am. Maybe this morning, if you've never come to know the Lord as your Savior, you would be willing to do that today. You'd be willing to allow someone to come and show you from the Word of God how one can be saved. But if you are a born-again believer, you do want to be used of the Lord, correct? Maybe you'd just like to come and pray, say, Lord, make me usable. Use me. He's not necessarily going to send you off to Honduras. But I'm going to tell you this, every church needs people who are willing to be used of the Lord. And you can come and pray by yourself. We'll give you that opportunity. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we've had to look into your word. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We ask, Lord, now that you would bless this invitation time. May the Spirit move. May hearts be touched. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.